Please open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 1. Pray for my daughter, Kayla. She just left last Monday to go back to China. She's a missionary in China right now. And she got one more year at that language academy. She's teaching kindergartners. Amen. And she's learned the language, the Mandarin language, in 6 months. It's just the writing. There's 2,200 Chinese characters, so it's really tough to memorize all of that. But she can at least converse and talk with the children and talk with the parents, and she loves it there in China. I believe God is opening China wide open. China is being Isaiah 49 verse 12 is being fulfilled right before our eyes. It says that there the people of Sinim shall come to the Lord. And when you talk about Isaiah 49 verse 1, it's talking about the second coming of Christ. Right before his second coming, it says in there in verse 12, the people of Sinim shall come to the Lord. And they used the Abeka curriculum at the Lijiang International Academy. And then while I was there in August 10th last year to drop off my daughter, the director of the Department of Education in Yunnan Province, Lijiang is on the western side of China, right next to Nepal. Snow Mountain, the last mountain there at the Himalayas, is 3 miles away from my daughter. And the Department of Education director called while I was there, and he said, could you start 8 more schools in the province of Yunnan using the Abeka curriculum? And that's amazing. China is coming to the Lord, amen. And you can go now to China and handle adults up to 24. If you go more than 24 adults, you have to start another one. Or if you have a Chinese interpreter, a Chinese national who can handle them, you can go above 25 and over. But for 24 adults, you can have your Bible study free. I mean, the communist police won't bother you. Actually, Deng Xiaoping graduated from Harvard University. If you notice, 2 weeks after President Trump took over, Deng Xiaoping was already at the Washington, D.C., at the Capitol, talking with Donald Trump, because none of the Democrat presidents would pay the government bonds. We owe China since 1996, when President Clinton sold government bonds to China. But Clinton didn't pay even interest. Obama didn't pay. Deng Xiaoping is so happy that Trump took office, because when Bush was in office, they would pay. They would pay the national debt with China, and now Trump is paying. So they're giving the luxury for all American missionaries to preach the gospel now in China, amen? So it's just a great thing. But open your Bibles here in Philippians chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 7. I want to share with you a few thoughts about the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Philippian church, not just for the people of Philippi, but his prayers for us too, because God wants us to use his word. The Bible says all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants us to use scripture to apply to us too, amen? It says in John chapter 6, in verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God uses this word for us to communicate and to connect with him. Amen. As we who are born in the spirit have that Holy Spirit with us, God uses that Holy Spirit to communicate through his word. Amen. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, for where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in the glass, this is the glass of the word, the mirror of God, our chains are transformed, metamorphosized into the same image from glory to glory, from one level of glory to the next level of glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 7, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. Father in heaven, we pray now your blessing upon your words. Your Lord, use it to the transforming of our lives. Lord, as we fulfill the prayers of the Apostle Paul, not just for the church of Philippi, but even in our own lives, Lord, knowing that you are confident that what you have begun in us, you'll complete it until the day of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the promise, Lord, as we see the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, as we see his words being left for us, Lord, to study and to glean upon, Lord, to learn upon, Lord, that you might transform us, Lord, change us. Lord, convict us of our sins, of our unholiness. Lord, convict us, Lord, of your righteousness. Lord, and convict us, Lord, of the judgment seat to come as we prepare ourselves, Lord, for the second coming. Lord, we pray now your blessing upon each and every one of us. Lord, if there be any perchance that's not saved, may they see the simplicity of salvation in Christ. We love you and we praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We see it here. He's writing to the church of Philippi, Apostle Paul is, and he's saying in there in verse 1, it says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. You and I need to remember we are the body of Christ. Locally, what we have right now, we are the body of Christ. Amen. And this is profitable for all saints, for all who are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We who have Christ living inside us. We who have the promise of glorification. We who are justified. We who are given the imputed righteousness of Christ. We see it here. God is addressing us with the bishops and deacons. Thank the Lord for a local body. Amen. This church was founded there in Acts chapter 16. We know the story of the very first church of Europe that began. The Apostle Paul went there to Philippi and he saw these ladies by the riverbank. They were praying together and him and Silas went along and said, could we share with you the words of truth? And they all got saved, all of these fabric sellers of purple. And then Lydia took them to her house and her whole family got saved. So we know at least there was a church there. And then they went to the city of Philippi and exercised a damsel that had demonic spirits there. And then the business people who were invested in that damsel, they put the Apostle Paul and Silas on the stocks. Amen. And they're in jail. They were singing until midnight. And then earthquake came and opened the doors, startled the warden that was sleeping. He fired up the torch. And notice all those prison doors opened, and he pulled out his sword. I can only imagine and visualize, and there they heard that sword coming out of the sheath. The Apostle Paul said really loud, do thyself no harm. We are all here. Of course, that warden was probably startled. Why nobody escaped? Amen. And I can only visualize him going to the cell of the Apostle Paul crying and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Apostle Paul looked at him and said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thine house. He got saved and he took the Apostle Paul and Silas to his house. It says in there in Acts Chapter 16 and verse 35, the whole family got saved. So we know this, at least these two churches there that Apostle Paul is writing with the bishops and deacons. Amen. And it's saying in there in verse 4, it says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. This church, the Apostle Paul is writing to them out of jail. This is 62 A.D. I mean, this is a special church. Only Philippi supported Apostle Paul during his missionary endeavors. He left the church there. It says in chapter 4 in verse 14, now you Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He tried to convince the church of Corinth. You read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 10. That was 51 A.D. It says you should be forward a year ago, but they never did. They never pulled out with that promise of supporting the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is now writing 62 A.D. He says, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. This is the only church that supported Apostle Paul. And he's writing to them and saying in here, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. And it has this prayer request. First prayer request says, always in every prayer of mine, look at verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. This is his first prayer request. You and I need to respond to this, joining the fellowship of the gospel from the very first day that you get saved. God has designed for you to enter in into his economic program. I mean, the Greek word here for fellowship is oikonomos, economy. We thank the Lord for the economy that's booming right now. And President Trump is doing all he can right now to just spark plug and catalyze our economy. And it's busting out right now. Amen. I mean, who's heard about the NASDAQ reaching 24,000 points? Amen. And the Dow Jones Industrial. Think about that. But really, God's economic program is built around the church. I mean, it's good to have a good political program, but this is the only program that God is fostering before us right here. It says, join the fellowship of the gospel from the very first day until now. God wants you to ride the boat with him. That's the great thing about the King James. It's very visual. Amen. Fellowship is two English words joined together. Two fellows in the ship. The captain or the pilot of the boat is Jesus Christ. Amen. Ride the boat with him. Join in fellowship with him. Amen. You might not be in vibes with somebody else in church. Amen. You might not be in right personality compatibility with somebody, but God says, ride the boat together. Amen. Join the boat. The under shepherd, your pastor here, Pastor Parrish, has been given that privilege to be the local church pastor, to be that under shepherd. Amen. And one day we under shepherds will appear before the chief shepherd. Amen. The Bible says in there in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 3, and that when that chief shepherd shall appear, he will give us the crown of glory. Amen. We're looking forward to that day till we preach church. Amen. But it says in here, join the fellowship of the gospel together. Learn, grow in the body, grow in the church. Amen. God wants us to keep on growing. Amen. To keep on learning. Amen. God wants us to join each other. Amen. To fellowship together. Amen. God knows that our relationship is permanent. Amen. We will never lose our salvation. But God wants us to have fresh fellowship with him. It says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. It's talking about our fellowship with him. And then he that walketh in the light have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. I mean, our relationship is permanent. Our fellowship has to be an ongoing sanctification with God. I mean, confessing our sins, walking in the light of the Bible, our private devotions, our private worship. And then as we fellowship together, amen, we fellowship with God, making that connection horizontally and making that connection with God vertically. God wants us to keep on riding the boat together. We're all going to heaven together one day. Amen. And thank the Lord for the promise of the second coming. We might be flawed right now. Amen. It's natural. All of us are imperfect, being led by an imperfect pastor like me. Amen. I mean, you and I, we might be offended with one another's flaws. But when we love the word, the Bible says in Psalm 119 and 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We shouldn't be offended with one another. Ride the boat, amen. Just keep on riding with God. And you love one another. The more you get exposed to one another, the more you learn of each other. God wants us to learn as fishermen. You ride that boat. Why do you want to ride the boat? To go fishing, amen. I mean, God says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I mean, I studied my own personality. I took the Briggs-Mayer personality test. You can check it out. It's free on the computers. You can go Google, and then there's three different personality tests there. You have four major personalities. You have the choleric, melancholic, sanguine, and phlegmatic personality. And each of those personalities, there are four sub-personalities in there. I mean, I am INTJ. INTJ is the worst form of introversion. I'm a big introvert, amen. I mean, it's sad, but really, I'm on the same line with Vladimir Putin. And then Adolf Hitler is also INTJ. But praise God, Morgan Freeman and Denzel Washington, they're both INTJ too, amen. So it's a good side of the spectrum there, amen. But I thank the Lord that God saved me. But you know, I have no excuse. God called me to be a preacher. I have no excuse to clam up in my corner, to be comfortable in my introversion. Amen. Right. I need to go out of the box and learn those other spectrum of different personalities. God says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You don't use the same bait, the same lures for the different fishes out there. It's the same thing with going out soul winning. You need to address all these 16 different personalities. I mean, the Bible says in there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 18 to 21, to the Jew I became a Jew that I might win some. And then to the heathen, I became like the heathen, but knowing the gospel of Christ. You don't have to live like the heathen. You have all these Pentecostals. I mean, taking out that verse 20 out of context. Look, that verse 20 says it there, I can win the pagans by being like a pagan. No. Amen. You who are under the law, you who know the law of Christ, you don't have to be a drunk to win the drunks. Amen. But a lot of Southern Baptists use that verse out of context. It's sad they allow all this moderate drinking, social drinking, you know. It's sad. Jesus Christ deliberately said in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, I will not therefore drink of the fruit of the vine with you until I drink it new in the kingdom. Jesus Christ drank fruit of the vine and it's new. Never fermented, amen. And the Greek word is the Greek word gluko, not blepo. Blepo is fermented wine. Jesus Christ always directed the thoughts in there with unfermented grape juice. I mean, that wine in there in John chapter 2 at the wedding of Cana, that's fresh juice. It says new wine. The Greek word gluko. Amen. You and I need to understand, no matter what we do, we need to keep on learning to join the fellowship of the gospel. Ride the boat with God. Ride the boat with your preacher that God put you in. Amen. From the first day until now. I mean, we will have our flaws. We'll keep on making mistakes, but keep on riding the boat together. Amen. So I said there, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We'll all appear before God one day. That's the only time we'll be perfect. Amen. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does nothing appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We'll be like Christ one day. We'll be perfectly sinless one day. But at this point in time, not. We're not sinless right now. But we'll keep on striving to get better and better, being close to the Lord, having fellowship with him, confessing our sins to him every day, and then fellowshipping with the brethren in the church. Keep on growing with the Lord. Ride the boat, amen. Second thing in here is praying. Look at verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. The grace of growing with the Lord. Thank God for the grace of salvation. Thank God for the grace of sanctification. Thank God for the grace of serving. Amen. Thank God for the grace of standing with the Lord. Thank God for the grace of giving. God has given us so many graces, and we need to abound in this, in these graces that God has given us. But look at this in verse 7 again. He's praying for us in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says it there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 to 4. I mean, we are standing because of the gospel. We are saved because of the gospel. It's the atonement. I mean, it's the picture of the atonement of Christ. Instead of you and I paying for our sins, Jesus Christ paid for our sins vicariously. Amen. Substitutionally, he took our place, left our sins in the devil's hell. Amen. He was resurrected. He left our sins there in hell. And you and I who received Christ, we received the gift of eternal life. But we need to fight for the purity of the gospel. Think about it. You have our songbooks. I mean, we have the same songbooks that we use in the Philippines. There's about 19 songs in that songbook by Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby is Church of God. But back in those days, we had the same fellowship with the Church of God until 1905. The Church of God started saying, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock and to the churches of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The problem is, it's not a capital letter C, churches of God. It's a small letter C. It's a common noun. It's not a proper noun. It's not a denomination. And they're saying that they're the only ones purchased by the blood of Christ. With the break free from the Church of God doctrine. Amen. They're claiming they're the only ones saved. We have to separate from them. 1914, there used to be citywide revivals with Methodists and also with Presbyterians among Baptist circles. I mean, Billy Sunday used to have citywide revivals with Baptists and Methodists. But the Presbyterian Church changed their stand. They believe they're the only ones saved too. They claim the same verse in there. They're in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And then the Methodists started claiming infant baptism. You had to be baptized as a baby. I mean, Jesus Christ was baptized. He was 30 years old. Amen. I mean, if baptism would save anybody, Jesus Christ didn't need to be cleansed by water. He had no sin. Amen. So, I mean, water baptism doesn't clean you from sins. Our belief in Christ, our faith, our trust in the finished work of Christ is what saves you. And baptism is a public pronouncement of your love for Christ. Amen. We have been there in the Philippines. I mean, just 3 weeks before I came here, March 23rd, I arrived. I checked my Facebook page. I mean, sometimes I don't even know how to upload pictures on Facebook. My kids do that for me. But I need Facebook to monitor all of my students. Because we have a school, 480 students. I mean, the Philippines is 122 million people, but 65 million Filipinos are subscribers of Facebook. We're the second most number of subscribers of Facebook in the whole world. I mean, so many Filipinos would have double or triple accounts, different names there. So I had to monitor, and one time I monitored one of our people, and they posted in there. I mean, it was a sailor. There's a lot of sailors, Filipino sailors, cargo vessel sailors and cruise ship sailors, but this guy was a member. I mean, he's saved. But he got involved with the Seventh-day Adventist doctrine. We know they were passed out on the boat there, and they picked up these beautiful magazines. I mean, they're glossy pages said there that he wrote on Facebook. Any believer who worships God on Sunday is a pagan. And they had 8 of our people put that like sign there on Facebook. Like, why? Because he paid for their kids' tuition. Man, each of our kids, I mean, 18,000 pesos, that's about $360 for a whole year's tuition. He covered 8 students, so naturally 8 parents put their thumbs up like. I mean, I can't even imagine why they're saying the like in there. I mean, he's calling us heathen who are worshiping God, pagans worshiping God on Sunday. So I had to address, I had to open scripture for him. I tackled him privately. I didn't make a fool of him there on Facebook. I privately messaged him. I gave him Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. The apostles worship God on the first day of the week. And then you look at Exodus chapter 31 and verses 17 and 18. I mean, the seventh day is actually a covenant sign for the Jews. It's not a covenant sign for us. I mean, our sign, it's Psalm 118 in verse 22 to 24. The Bible says in there, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. This is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The day for us to worship is during the resurrection of Christ. The stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. We need to fight for real doctrine. Amen. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. There's only one way. I mean, that way is Jesus Christ. I mean, no man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ said. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We need to stand and fight for the purity of the gospel. Next prayer request. Look at this in verse 12. First, we see his prayer request for fellowship. All of us need to join the boat and ride the boat with the preacher that God gave us. And then all of us need to fight for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And then verse 12, all of us need to look to the furtherance of the gospel. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. See, the thing is, it's not about you anymore. Yes, thank the Lord that you got saved, but you're here for a reason. I mean, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we always quote that verse. And it's a nice verse. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What purpose? Verse 29 gives you the purpose. For whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate, that he might conform them to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God designed for you and I to be the firstborn among many brethren you bring into his kingdom. God designed for you to keep on growing that somebody else might meet the Savior. You're not just here in church for nothing, to just sit around and do nothing. No. God designed for you to keep on growing that you might be his voice. I mean, the guy that led me to the Lord is also INTJ. I mean, he's just a shy man. I'll see him tomorrow. He's here in Mooresville, North Carolina, working for Penske Motors. Amen. But I'll see him. He went to the Philippines. What happened was, he hit a C in his Air Force ROTC program at Purdue University. And when you hit a C, you lose your scholarship. He had to pay back the Air Force 2 years going to the Philippines. On his second year, he went out soul winning, and I got saved. Amen. Amen. He knew how to talk to me because I'm also INTJ. He approached me the same kind manner. I mean, he did it quietly. I mean, sometimes people can lead quietly, amen? And that's what he did. He led quietly, and I finally got saved, amen? But brother and sister, you and I can be use of God through our children. So he's praying for us for the furtherance of the gospel. It's not about you anymore. It's about your children and your children's children. And the next generation to come. Amen. Psalm 78 in verse 4. That the people of the next generation, the next generation might know the mighty works of God. I mean, you and I need to think about extending the chain, not just from our place, but unto our children and to our children's children. I mean, it's sad when you see families not coming to church anymore. I got offended. I don't want to go there anymore. I got offended. Preacher offended me, or deacon so-and-so offended me. I'm not going back. Who's really hurt? The children. Yeah, he's so proudful that he's not coming back to church, but the kids are suffering. And then the kids' kids will be left out, and then they live like heathen. I mean, it's down the line. It's just a destroyed family. Damaged goods from the very beginning. But we just keep coming back, amen? You and I can be renewed in fellowship. You and I can keep on riding the boat with other believers. I mean, people will be offended. Thank the Lord. If you love the Bible, you won't be offended. Amen? You and I need to put that away. I mean, we call it offendicitis in the Philippines. Amen? And that's what it is. We're being inflamed by our own proud, lustful love. I mean, lustful condition. Our pride, our pride of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I mean, and it's just sad. Truly, we are a carnal generation, but keep on growing with the Lord. Think about the next generation of believers. Who will carry the torch? I mean, they're not going to do it with the mega church program. I mean, they're not even learning any Bible. I mean, I was watching on cable television Joel Osteen. He won't even say anything about sin. I mean, yeah, just believe. Believe you'll be rich. Have that dream. You will be rich. That's hogwash, amen. They don't know anything about the Bible. He's only telling them stories, only telling them positive psychology. Brother and sister, that's not the word of God. God wants us to grow in this word, worship him in spirit and in truth. Preach the Bible, amen. He's not going to talk about sin. I mean, he had that interview with Larry King live. I was watching the interview. Joel Osteen said, I'm not going to talk about sin. It's up to them to find out, he said. I mean, the Bible is clear there. Isaiah chapter 58 in verse 1, it says in there, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Cry aloud. Show my people their sins and the people of Jacob their iniquities. God wants us to lift up our voice. Amen. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their sins. We have to realize, yes, you want to be politically correct, but you can say things out of a heart of love. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. People know when you love them. You have to tell the truth. You love them. Amen. I mean, my cousin in the Philippines is gay. I told him, I said, you need to stop doing this. I saw him finally after 20 years. He's 64 years old now. He's crying. I said, Carl, you were right. He can't go parties anymore. He's bald and ugly, and nobody likes him anymore. I mean, it's sad. I'm telling the truth, amen. He said, you were right, Carl. We have to tell the truth, amen. You need to be satisfied with that gender that God gave you. This only X and Y chromosome, amen? God gave you that X and Y chromosome. You're XY, you're a male. If you're XX, you're female. There's not a gender in between, amen? You'll be a mutant. You'll be dead, amen? We be satisfied with what gender that God gave us. Think about the furtherance of the gospel. We're developing a next generation that doesn't want to be. Here's the truth. They want to have tickling ears. Amen. They want to be satisfied with just a one-hour service. That's actually 45 minutes of singing, just 15 minutes of saying nothing. That's what it is. There's a falling away before the second coming of Christ, and that's what's happening right now. They're having itching ears to hear that which is not even truth. Lastly, the Apostle Paul is writing, and they look at verse 27. We need to pray, number one, for the fellowship of the gospel. Number two, for the fight of the gospel. Then the furtherance of the gospel. Then lastly, look at verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's what it is, amen. You and I need to live the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as it becometh your conversation, your manner of life. All through life, God expects you to be that living testimony, that living gospel. Amen. Guard your testimony. Guard your fellowship with God. Guard God's integrity. Guard God's reputation. You are that light that people see. They can't understand the Bible, but would they understand looking at you? Amen. Let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I was looking at that word striving. It's in the linear tense. Third person, aorist tense. That's in the linear tense. That means consecutively, perpetually, it's your project. Athletikos is the Greek word. Athletikos. Athletikos means athlete in the English language. An athlete needs to keep on striving to be better. When you saw Justin Gatlin finally beating Usain Bolt last week, finally, after 12 years of competing against Usain Bolt finally lost. After 12 years. I mean, 4 years of training just for the 100-meter dash. I mean, it's done in 9.92 seconds. It's done. But they trained constantly for 4 years in a row to hear that one bang. Bang. Justin Gatlin was 0.16th. of a second faster to start. And it was very critical in the end. He beat Usain Bolt. If you and I keep on striving, we'll finally reach our goals. Amen. God says in there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. God wants us to be approved. How can we be approved? By studying his word. When you look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, that you might be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in you. When people ask of you something, you can't say, oh, I need to talk to Dr. Parrish first. Wait here for a second. I need to give him a call. No, there's no time for that. I mean, your friend will just walk away, that you don't even know the Bible. God wants us to keep on growing. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep on growing with God. God has more faith in you than you have in yourself. The problem is you striving together as an athlete. Keep on practicing. I'm also a coach in basketball. And most Filipinos are short. But I said basketball is a game for giants. I mean, the taller you are, the greater chances you have. I mean, basketball, height is might. I mean, but I tell them this is what you need to do. I need to help you jump. I mean, they're starting to jump at 10 inches, and then I said, we need to keep on jumping. I mean, over a span of 3 months, they're up to 30 inches in height. Wow. Jumping. It can be done, amen. It has to be done because there's no way for us to win. I mean, I don't have a big team. I mean, other schools, they charge a lot of money and they sponsor all these good students to become players in their team. I mean, we're so small a school. I mean, there's 188 schools in our city. We're about the lowest matriculation, lowest tuition fee. We only charge 16,000 pesos per year. Even the public school system said, because they had a new program in the Philippines, they started in 2013, they had to bring in K-12 now. It used to be K-10. I finished high school at 16 years old. I went to medical school at 20. I was studying to be a doctor at 20 years old. I was going to be a doctor at 24, amen? But now they brought in K-12. But the Philippine government doesn't have enough money to build more schools. So what they're doing, they're channeling all the 11th graders and 12th graders into the private schools, and they're giving them stipends, 18,000 pesos, that's $360 for a whole year. I mean, they're scratching their heads. Why are you only charging 16,000? I said, that's all we charge. I'm not a profit-hungry guy. I mean, I don't even get paid in this school. I want all the money to go to our teachers, I said. They're scratching their heads. I couldn't get the best players because all these other schools were paying extra money just to get the best students. But I had to teach my kids to keep on jumping. Amen. I mean, it's hard. They'll be jumping up and trying to reach this marker, and then I elevate the next marker up. Amen. They'll have 300 jumps every day. Kabam, kabam. By the next 3 months, they're always jumping 30 inches up in the air. They'll be flying. I mean, all of these other players who don't have all those jumping exercises, they'll be blocked by a little boy. Kapow! They'll be running for a fast break. Amen. That's how you win. Just keep on training as an athlete. Amen. Keep on learning the Bible. Striving together for the faith and the gospel. Let's all stand together. Father in heaven, bless your word to the hearts of your people. May we answer the prayer requests of the Apostle Paul as he prayed for the church of Philippi with tears, remembering each one of them, praying for them for the fellowship of the gospel from the first day of their lives, as they fight for the purity and the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, as they train their own children for the furtherance of the gospel, that the gospel might continue for the next generation, as they live the conversation as it becometh in the gospel, day by day, O Lord, as an athlete striving together for the faith of the gospel. Bless your people, O God, as only you can. We love you and we praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.